Well, today we wrap up this time spending in spiritual gifts. And out on the information counter is a handout with some serving opportunities that we have right now. Sunday school, kids ministries, caring center, Meals on Wheels, Cup of Joy, the Prayer Shawl Ministry, all kinds of opportunities for you to jump in and be a part of what's going on. There's also a box on there that talks about upcoming ministries that will take place where we need you to begin to pray about them as well. As you go out there today to grab one of those opportunity sheets, understand there is not a sign-up sheet today. And that's because I don't want you to just run out there and sign up for the first thing that looks appealing. I want you to go home and take that sheet and pray over it. And next week we'll have some sign-up sheets where maybe you can jump in and play a part in those ministries. There is only one sign-up sheet out there today, and that is for August 6th, the big car show downtown. We've been asked to take a corner down there, and so missions gave us some money. We're going to have a bounce house for the little kids. We're going to have a cotton candy machine. We've got some big wheels, and since it's a car show, we're going to set up a drag strip where kids can do drag racing, and we'll hand out bottles of water. So there's a sign-up sheet out there if you'd like to maybe take a two-hour slot at the bounce house, cotton candy, or the drag races. We're looking for people to fill those slots. And it's the corner where the barbershop used to be. Okay, that corner is where we're going to be set up. So that's the only sign-up sheet, and that's just because it's next Saturday, and so we need to get ready for that. Now, somebody asked me about core teams the other day. Positions on core teams will not be filled until later, after we get the Constitution and bylaws settled, which we're hoping to do. Just a heads up, we'll start announcing it next week. I think the 21st is when we're going to try to do that. How many of you have celebrated some birthdays this year? Give presents for special occasions. Hopefully, you are a person that loves to give gifts just to say, I love you, or I was thinking about you. You don't have to have a special date or anything in mind, just something to let people know that you care. Now, when you give those gifts, there's something that you do, hopefully, and that is, how many of you take the time to wrap them really nice? Yeah, a gift just walking up and going, hey, here's your birthday gift, happy birthday. And throwing it on the table, or here's your anniversary gift, happy anniversary, is not going to get us very far. And so today's message is all about how we present our gifts, right? How we present our gifts to other people. Paul says that it is very important. If we look at the sum total of his teachings, we get this idea that Paul thinks presenting our gifts in the right manner makes them more attractive to others. And that ultimately, through that attractiveness, Christ is made known as the end result. And so today we want to look back at a couple of the passages that we've shared about finding your spiritual gifts. And the first list we look at is in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving were all gifts that Paul talked about. But he also wrapped these gifts in a very special way. He tells us about the gifts, and then in Romans chapter 12, 9 and 10, we find these words. Love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another in love. As we look at Paul's list in Ephesians 4, he tells us that there are apostles, some are evangelists, some are teachers, some are pastors, to equip people to do service. But he also couches these in love as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, at the front end, he says that we are to be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then on the back end of that list of spiritual gifts, he says we are to speak the truth in love, and that we are to work together as a church to build ourselves up in love. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 through 11, he's where he talks about us using our spiritual gifts as if they were gifts from God. And again, he encases them in love. Verse 8 precedes that list of gifts, and he says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. In our final list of spiritual gifts, Paul does a great teaching in chapter 12 on spiritual gifts, but then he moves right into chapter 13, which we know as the love chapter. So as we take these lists of gifts and the verses that precede them and follow them, the one thing that we can see is there is one word that is a common denominator regarding the use of our spiritual gifts, and that word is love. Love is what our gifts should be wrapped in. These are wonderful gifts from God, if we remember, Peter said. They are wonderful gifts, and so we need to make sure that they are wrapped in love so that people will be pointed towards Christ Jesus. So I want to use that word love today as an acrostic and look at the relationship of love with our spiritual gifts. And the L stands for lasting. Love is lasting. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 says, love never fails. Or does it? Human love fails. We are frail, we are weak, we are selfish people, so human love may fail. But that's not the kind of love that Paul is speaking to us about right now. Paul is not talking about loving as we people love. Paul is talking about loving with the kind of love that God loves us with. And that is that word agape, that sacrificial love where it costs us something. It's not that we love when it's just convenient for us. It's not that we love when there's going to be some kind of benefit to us in doing this. No, this is a sacrificial love that God demonstrates to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. See, when we love as God loves, when we love other people as God loves, as God intended, love always accomplishes the purpose for which He set out. God's love always, always works. If we look at chapter 13 in the spiritual gifts, as Paul's speaking about them, I want to share something with you because I think this is really important as we talk about this love that we have. Let me get to chapter 13. Love never fails. But if we look at chapter 13, the love chapter in Corinthians, verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it's not proud, it goes through all those steps that we're going to take. We'll look at those in a minute. But he said, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, all right, a spiritual gift, he says, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So he says these three gifts are only temporary. And I don't think he means that they're not any good. But what he's saying is that the gift of prophecies will someday cease. Tongues will someday be silent. Now don't elbow your spouse because that's not the kind of tongues we're talking about. Knowledge will pass away. But I think Paul is trying to tell the church in Corinth, because they fixated on spiritual gifts and that some were better than others, he's saying the most important thing to focus on is using our gifts with love. All the other things, all the spiritual gifts will be temporary. I believe that God gifts us with different gifts in different stages of our lives or depending on the body of Christ that He puts us in. So they're temporary, but love should be lasting. Whatever gifts we are using, they should be done in love. Not just our human love, but a sacrificial love like God's. See, love truly is lasting. God tells us so. He said that it is an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. And God is still loving His people today. That's you and I. He still loves us with an everlasting love. Even though we mess up and we fall short, He still loves us. In a little while, if you've never accepted that free gift of love, we're going to give you an opportunity to make it your own. But we have to understand the importance of love. Because love in our life, if we don't love like God loves, sacrificial love, then we really, really don't love. And we need to have the love of God in each and every one of us in order to do that. The O in love stands for one another or others. Again, Think back to who our spiritual gifts are to be given to. They are given to others for the common good. You and I are the common good. In the Gospel of John, there are 5 chapters dedicated to the things Jesus said and did on the night before he was crucified. 3 times in that night, Jesus gives a command to love one another. In John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. In John chapter 15, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. In John chapter 15, verse 17, a couple verse later, this is my command, love each other. If we listen to these verses, do you get a sense that Jesus is not just suggesting or strongly says that, hey, maybe you should love others? No, he says, command, you must, this command, a new command, you must. He did not just suggest, he says, we are to love. He commands us to love one another. Command is a direct objective with specific authority. It is specifically stated to us something that we should do. And this is huge to the Jews as he does this that night, because the Jews were very familiar. They cherished the Ten Commandments. They were very proud that God had given the Ten Commandments to their people. But in keeping these Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that they had come up with, they had forgotten one thing. They had forgotten to love the Lord and to love others. And this is the issue that Jesus had with the religious leaders at that time. They were so consumed by commandments that they forgot to love. Jesus says in John chapter 13 that it is by our love people will know us as his followers. By this, he says, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. There's no wiggle room here. It's a command. He says we must do this. This is how we are recognized as followers of Christ. Francis Schaeffer is a writer and a pastor, and he's also an apologist, somebody who goes about defending the faith. And he said that love is the final apologetic. Love is the greatest defense that we have for who God is. All the arguments, everything we can do, if we don't love, we have failed. It's not going to be our moral or keeping of all the laws that are going to make people understand who Christ is. It's going to be our love. Because no matter how hard we try to keep all the commandments, we're going to fail. We are human and we are sinners. But it is in our ability to love that will speak the greatest volumes about who Jesus Christ is. And I'm telling you, as I was reading the news early this morning, there was another shooting in Dallas last night. I saw that there's going to be something on the East Coast called an after-school Satan club making their way into the schools. Wherever there is a Good News Bible club, they are going to try to get in these after-school Satan clubs. And legally, they're going to have an opportunity to do so. If they allow the Christians in, they got to allow everybody else in. But this is the world that we live in. And so we can bash, we can talk, even all the political stuff. If we don't love people, people are not going to come to know who Jesus Christ is. We can tell them, but if we turn around and don't love, it will do no good. The V in love stands for volitional action. Volitional means it's your choice. It is something that you choose to do. It's kind of like where we get, like originally, like the word volunteer, where we step up and we choose to do something. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. If you got your phone, you got your iPad, some of you are pretty technology savvy, that's all right. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love is patient. How patient are you? How patient are you with people who maybe don't want to do things the way you want them to be done, or don't do it in your time frame? How kind are you? Kind, the original word here, actually means more like beneficial or useful. Are you jealous? Do you envy what other people have? Do you think too highly of yourself? Are you proud or boastful? Are you rude? Rude can also be dishonoring. So are you honoring of people? Love does not seek itself, does not seek after her own self, it seeks after others. Love doesn't anger, and the word here better described is not that we anger, not anger, because sometimes anger is a good thing, but it means that we are slow to anger. Love means that we are slow to anger. We don't fly off the handle immediately. Love keeps no record of wrongs. There's no grudges. We don't hold things back in the back of our mind and throw them up in the middle of an argument with our spouse or with our kids. Hey, you remember that? Love holds no records of wrongs. It doesn't delight in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth, even if that truth points out our shortcomings. Love protects, trusts, always hopes, always endures, always perseveres. Now, these are things that don't just come naturally to us. These are things that we have to choose or choose not to do. They don't just happen. But I think part of that is we don't always understand love and what it is. And then once we understand God's sacrificial love, it's one of the cool things about the Greek language is that they have more words for love. Because I tell my wife I love her, but I also say I love pepperoni pizza. Or I love this TV show. She'll say, I love you. Oh, man, I love HGTV. I love Chip and Joanna. But we use the same word for all of those things. And so sometimes I think we demean love. We don't quite understand or quite get what it means until we understand agape love, sacrificial love. The kind of love that God is talking about here. John, the beloved disciple, has this to say about choosing to love or not to love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and in truth. John is saying that, hey, whatever we're saying with our mouth, our actions better back it up, and it better be couched in love. Don't just say it, but show it. Now, here's a really cool thing as we get going, is we have to remember that the Bible as we have it today, in its earliest form, did not look like this. They were continuous letters. The letter to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, was one continuous letter. It didn't have all the breaks in it and all the chapters and the passages. We did that so that we could start to find things a little bit easier. But Paul finishes up chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He's talking about spiritual gifts, how we all need them to work together, to function as a church, how important they are to the church. Again, he wants to make sure that the church at Corinth understands everything there is. He begins chapter 12 by saying, look, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So he moves from teaching on the spiritual gifts, and at the end of chapter 12, he says these things. But eagerly desire the greater gifts, whatever gifts are needed at that time. And then he says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. So here's everything he taught him about spiritual gifts, and he says, but now, let me show you the best way. Let me show you the most excellent way. And then he begins to speak about love. Again, not just spiritual gifts, but spiritual gifts couched in love. It's important for us to see that that's one continuous thing. He goes on, he says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only what? A resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, depending on your translation. He says, if I prophesy, have knowledge and faith that moves a mountain without love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and subject myself to great hardship for the Lord, but am without love, I have nothing. all those spiritual gifts in and of themselves are great, but if they're not couched in love or wrapped in love, he says they're worthless. They are worthless. Now, prophecy and knowledge and faith are important gifts in helping to build the church. But if we try to build a church based on those principles without love, then our church is structurally flawed. We have to have a love for God's people, or else nothing will be accomplished for the kingdom. If we only love ourselves, if we only love the things within the church, God's kingdom will not be advanced. And I don't know about you, but as I get older, and I know I'm not near as old as some of you, I have this urgency to advance the kingdom, because we're not promised tomorrow. 20-year-old lady, El Dorado, rolled her car the other day and dies. She didn't get the privilege of getting older, even though I complain about my aches and pains and my receding hairline. She didn't have the privilege of getting older. So I have this urgency that we do things in love. Paul says that without love for people, God's people, he is nothing. The most excellent way is love. Again, agape love, sacrificial love, where there is something that it costs us. It's not just convenient for us or beneficial for us, but is a choice that we make that focuses on other people, especially those who still need to know the love of Jesus Christ, who will perish and be eternally separated from God if we don't show them the love that they need to. If we don't show them what it means to have a Savior who died on the cross for our sins, and he died on the cross for their sins as well. We have spent this month, it's a great thing that it was a five-Sunday month, but we have been looking at spiritual gifts, and now we get this thing about loving God. And so I pray again that you have learned something about your spiritual gifts that hopefully you didn't before. That maybe you have one or two gifts. I think most of the people I've talked to, and they've come up to me and said, well, what do you think my gifts were? To be honest, if I've done some ministry with you, I might be able to get close, and I can usually guess two out of three. But remember, that sheet, and if you didn't get one last week, I did like 250 of them went out the door in the last couple weeks, so it's pretty cool. But there are some more out there, and the answers are out there as well. No matter how important spiritual gifts are perceived to be, they are no value, again, to anybody if they are not wrapped in love. All right? If they're not wrapped in love, that person who is a burr under your saddle is not going to understand your spiritual gifts. He's not going to be pointed to Christ. That person that you see at the grocery store and you see him headed towards you and you turn to go down the other aisle, pretend like you didn't see him, they're not going to know the love of Christ if we do not love Christ's people. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Didn't say just for my friends or your friends. He said for the whole world, even those that we do not love. We can send money to missions, but if we don't put some action to it, then we do not love. If we help to send money to help build a house, where we really connect with people is when we're next to them, side by side, showing them that we love them. I think it's great that we send a lot of money around the world, but people will know when we're working at the caring center and we're giving them food and we're giving them some clothes that we love them. They'll know when we're at the car show giving them a bottle of water in the middle of the hottest day of the summer, probably. Things are supposed to ramp up this week again, that we love them. Those little kids will know that we love them when we hand them a cotton candy. I've been told that probably most of the adults will love it as well. But it's showing people love. Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be uncomfortable next Saturday? Yeah, but we're going to focus on others. We're going to focus on the others who still need to hear about Jesus Christ. We're going to show them love. We're going to be volitional. We're going to volunteer. We're going to choose to use our gifts down there to serve others. The Bible says that God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. God is love. And we are never more like God than when we love other people. Doesn't matter how much biblical knowledge you have, how much doctrine you have, if you don't love, well, without love, our gifts are kind of... Watch this video clip. Without love, there would be no cross on the wall behind me. Without love, Jesus could have called down legions of angels and got down off the cross and said, I don't want to do it. But because of love, Jesus stayed on that cross. Because of love, God sent his Son to take our punishment, that we would have hope for a future. Without love, we would have no future. What we have today, when we take our last breath, that would be it. Jesus Christ did go to the cross for you because he loved you. He wants you to know that today. He wants to make sure that when you leave here this morning, that you understand that that love is available to you just by accepting the free gift of love that he gives, that sacrificial love. Please don't leave this room today without understanding that God loves you, wants you to spend an eternity in heaven with him. Let's pray. My Father, we thank you that you do love us. We thank you that you modeled that love for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Because without that, this world would be all that we would know. The turmoil, the travesty, the love of self, people who don't love one another. What a crazy world. What a crazy way to spend a life. And so because you loved us, we can live through these trying times, not only with the hope of eternity, but hope for a new kingdom here on earth, one that is couched in love, where people love one another, people use their gifts to serve each other. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand that just having the knowledge of spiritual gifts is not enough, that our faith demands action so that others would be able to see Jesus Christ in us. We thank you again, Lord, that you loved us. We pray that everything that we do is couched in love, that others would come to know the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, that they too may enjoy the peace and understanding that we have of what's to come. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand, if you would. More love to thee. There can never be enough love in this world right now. If we did have enough love, we wouldn't be going through all these crazy times. That flag wouldn't have to be at half mast, it seems like, every day for another fallen police officer of some kind. More love to thee.